It's time to focus on what drives e-commerce results. It's time for Browse Basket Buy.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Browse Basket Buy, the podcast that proves e-commerce advice doesn't have to come with a free trial that you forgot to cancel. Joining me today is Matthew Holman. Hi, Matthew.
Dan, I love that intro. Hi, thanks for coming on. Right, a free trial you forgot to cancel.
Yeah, I always try to put some sort of punny joke at the beginning of the thing. It's like an Easter egg for the regulars.
You got me with it. I love it. Thanks for having me on.
No worries at all. So you, I was going to call you the prescription doctor. I'm not sure you're a qualified medical professional, but certainly.
My father is a doctor, if that counts for anything.
So. Dr. Holman. So that, I'll take that. They're genetic, right? Being a doctor is genetic.
Exactly.
But you run something called the subscription prescription. Introduce yourself. Tell us a bit about the subscription.
Absolutely. Yeah. So as you mentioned, Matthew Holman, I got into subscriptions a number of years ago as a marketing co-founder of a subscription app called Autoship Cloud. And, you know, as I was marketing that and working with our customers, very quickly developed a sense that, you know, subscription problems are often feel really, really complex and hard and weird. And so we, you know, worked with a lot of our own clients, started a newsletter to try to both help clients, but also try to attract new business. And then the more we did that, realized there was just more and more people that just wanted help, weren't necessarily interested in buying the software so much as just getting help. And so the consultancy was born out of that. We've got a podcast, newsletter, worked with a couple hundred different brands. And so we really just get into the very specific problem of how you acquire more subscribers, how do you keep them longer, how do you get great LTV and profitability from them. So I've seen a lot of different stuff. Subscription doctor, get your weekly dose of subscription information.
Wonderful. You sound like just the person we need to speak to. So yeah, today we're going to talk all about subscriptions. Yeah. Seen as a big panacea, I think, a lot of the time for retailers in terms of getting that recurring revenue, that predictable revenue stream in. So let's start there. So the big benefit that brands are looking at is subscriptions give you that big retention upside. Is that the best way to look at subscriptions? What could you be missing in that? If that's what you think about that.
Yeah, I think some of the best teams and best brands look at it like baked in LTV. So when we're thinking about the harsh world of acquiring customers, what's really, really tricky is understanding like how much can I afford to spend to acquire a customer, right? And so subscriptions have just a much higher LTV. It's very, very rare when you see a non-subscription option have a higher LTV, unless it's maybe memberships, which is a form of subscription. So essentially it's like, hey, if normally I spend $60, $70 to acquire a customer, it's a $50 order, I'm losing on that first order. I then have to build in this repeat purchase process through retention marketing. Or if I offer a subscription, then the average customer I'm acquiring on a subscription, maybe they're spending $120, $150. Now I can afford to spend more to acquire them. So that's probably the most basic way to look at it and why you see so many more and more brands pushing subscriptions first. I'd say the other side of that is when you're looking to buy your business, to sell your business, or having somebody invest in your business, they often want to see really strong LTV. That's how they are trying to get their multiples out of the business. And subscriptions is another good way to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And is there any downside to it? Is there anything there that, as I said, that could be missing from that? Or is that a really clear benefit that's pretty much always delivered when it comes to subscriptions?
No, I think there are mistakes in that where you see a lot of brands that are chasing subscriptions where maybe they're not the best fit, right? When we're thinking about, hey, this is something you might use periodically. It's not something you use every day. So I'm still going to try to sell it on a subscription. I've seen things such as like people trying to do pillowcase subscriptions because you should be changing out your pillowcases every year instead of using them for 3, 4, 5 years, Dan. Like you need to get rid of those old ones, right? You know, cleaning supplies, replacement cartridges for a device. Like there are ways that it can work, but it does sometimes feel a little bit like it's like this holy grail that everybody's chasing. It's technically not the holy grail, though. Like everything I just said was about LTV, right? We want to find methods of driving up lifetime value for the customers that we acquire. So subscriptions are generally the best way to do that. They're not always the best way to do that. Repeat purchases and great engagement with customers is ultimately the best way to do that.
Yeah. And what about one thing that occurred to me, cross-sells and upsells, is that kind of thing harder with a subscription in your experience, or can it work just as well?
It can work just as well. I mean, actually, we see like a lot of really simple things where just something as simple as you bought something one time and then the cart has upselling that same item to a subscription. That can increase like your subscriber take rate like by 10 or 15%. It's a very simple process. The other part of that would be like, if people are willing to commit to a subscription, so something as simple as protein powder. If I'm buying protein powder from your company and you're selling glutamine, which is a great supplement for bodybuilders. Okay, now makes sense to get that as an upsell offer for that. But ultimately, one of the methods that we see works really, really well is like, hey, you're buying a bag of protein powder every month. How about you get 3 bags of protein every 3 months? And then it costs you more money all at once, except we'll give you a better discount. We'll give you an extra 10 or 20% off. The business gets cash flow. Your cash to conversion cycle improves. So that's another really great tactic we like. So ultimately, you see subscribers willing to commit to more things. So they're willing to generally buy more, get into bundles, upsells that go well with whatever they're purchasing.
And you could actually deal with some perhaps merchandising challenges as well there by pushing people to buy more of a product that perhaps you have to keep in stock for longer, which ends up costing you money, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Cool. And so what does a good subscription look like? So there's lots of big difference between, you know, just planning a subscription model and then what's right. really working. So could you talk us through what does a really good subscription model look like?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and Dan, this is one of the reasons I was excited to come on the show, because knowing what you guys do, like with offer strategy, most people, when they think about subscriptions, they think it's like all about the retention, the emails, how you get people, like your hooks into people. But what I've seen be the most effective strategy across the board, bar none, every single time, is offer strategy. How can I get somebody to commit to a subscription in a way that is beneficial for both the subscriber and the business? So I mentioned that bulk option is a really common tactic that we've seen across the board the last few years, where, and it might not be buying 3 bags. It might be, say, something as simple as what Grunes does. It's like, are you buying this for 1 or 2 people? And if you're buying it for 2 people, you're going to get 2 quantity, right? So there you go. Your AOV is now higher. Looking at offer strategy, you look at like what Everyday Dose and Magic Mind have been doing, where we're offering gifts with purchase. That's another really good tactic. But ultimately, if you can get more people to subscribe to something, you're getting more people that are willing to commit and willing to spend more with you over time. But also with the right testing, you can structure your offers in such a way that they attract a higher quality of subscriber. So as a very simple example, say I'm selling protein powder. Again, I like using that as an example because everybody knows what that product is and has probably taken it at some point in their life. But you can buy protein powder from anywhere. You can get it from Amazon, Costco. You can get it from 50,000 different e-commerce brands. You can get it in a gel. You can get it in a shake. You can get, right? Like it's bars, all these things. So when I'm selling that to somebody, what is going to make my offer truly enticing? And if I'm going to go with, say, like 30, 40, 50% off to subscribe, the people that find that offer really compelling are also going to find every other offer they see that has a discount or something new to try enticing. And so they're going to leave. Whereas if I start testing offers where it's like, hey, you buy our protein powder, we throw in creatine at 50% off, and we throw in glutamine at 50% off. When you buy these 3 things together, you get more value. Now, there's still discounting involved, but you're actually spending more money because you're buying more than one item. Those types of subscribers are generally much higher value because they see value from you and they're getting a lot of value from you, so they stick around for a long time. So offers not only get us more subscribers, but they get us more of the right subscribers with really good LTV baked in. And every brand needs to work on all the retention stuff, but if you don't have a really strong muscle related to offer testing and offer strategy, you're leaving not just money on the table, but long-term revenue on the table.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We would always echo that. Having a strategy to it and a plan to it is absolutely right. Super important, and making sure you test and optimize. In terms of those metrics to look at with a subscription, is it purely about LTV? Is that where you think you would focus to make sure you're driving the success from the program?
I generally would say like that's how we're looking at high level, how we're looking at tests, at how we're influencing. I'd say you time bound it. So looking at, say, like, 90-day, 180-day LTV, depending on what tests you're running. But you can always break that down into smaller pieces. So like looking at our opt-in rate, what our average order value is for initial subscriptions, looking at our churn metric overall from like a monthly average standpoint, but also from a cohort standpoint, a waterfall cohort standard over time, like how many people are we losing in month one, month two, save rates, all that stuff. So those are like individual KPIs that ultimately roll up to LTV. So for example, if I were to say a good one is same first day churn. So people that buy and they cancel within the first 1 or 2 days, right? Like if I can take actions that improve that metric, that is going to have a downstream effect on LTV naturally in that way. But LTV is the kind of like North Star. I would actually argue it'd be like the margin related to that, because we often think of LTV as a top line metric. So we want to think about what margin we're getting, contribution margin from each subscriber. Mm. But that's getting a little bit more into the finance weeds.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. And that's the sort of the good side. This is what a good subscription program looks like. Let's talk about the bad side. So if you do work with someone who's perhaps already running a subscription program and there's some issues in there, where do you typically find the mess or the missing opportunities that could be in there?
Yeah, the first one is the biggest one that I've already said, which is offer structure or offer strategy, where they're simply just, hey, here's our product, or you can subscribe and save in 10% and get it that way. I see a lot of brands not defaulting to the subscription option. And also not just leveraging basic design tactics related to putting emphasis, right? Like what type of value is coming into that? Should it look big and pretty? When I go to click one time, is there a loss because the price is increasing? Like just making sure things look really, really crisp and clean is one of the biggest things. I think the next biggest mistake I see is billing reminders. So this is like, I don't know why it's still a controversy, but a lot of brands don't like sending billing reminders, or they do send them and they're very transactional. Hey, Dan, we're going to charge your credit card in 3 days. Click here if you need to make any changes. Instead of, hey, Dan, remember your dream of being like an international bodybuilder, which is why you bought our protein powder in the first place. Like, we're here to support you on that. You have another shipment on the way. And by the way, because you're a subscriber, don't forget you have access to this resource, and you get the best deal on the market with the best protein powder that's ever existed. Oh, and if you need to make any adjustments because you have too much or too little, here's a link to do that. You know, so that's one of the biggest mistakes that we see, and is not leading with value. And then one of the easiest things that I'm seeing right now for brands is at the cancellation point. So somebody goes to cancel their subscription. The thing that kind of gets me, I talk about this all the time online, is if you, especially for brands that are founder led, right? The founders in their ads, the founders on their homepage. Well, your founder needs to be in your cancellation flow with a little quick little video, like reminding people about why you started the brand and how easy it is to control or make changes to subscription. And we care about you. If you still want to leave, that's okay. That kind of thing will take like a 6, 7, 8, 10% cancellation save rate and take it to a 16, 17, 18, 20% save rate just by adding that video. So that's one of the other things, is just like spending a little bit of time at some of those key touch points, point of purchase, billing reminder, cancellation.
Yeah. And as you say, again, it's sort of testing and optimizing each of those points to say, right, what could you do there that would really improve the performance here, would improve the experience? I actually did an episode with a behavioral psychology guy, and I was wondering about, and in terms of the framing and things, is it worth testing all those kind of things? You know, he was talking about the difference between kind of saying it's costing you this much per day versus per week versus per month, whichever one kind of looks like the best value is going to be the one that you should lead with. But is it worth testing all that sort of side of things as well?
Oh, absolutely. That's one of the biggest tactics we've seen be effective too, is on like the product page when you're talking about, say, so I mentioned like this bulk option idea is like, hey, you know, you're buying one bag, two bags, or three bags of protein powder. What's the price per serving? What's the price per day, right? What's the price per scoop kind of thing? Like you can test some of those different ways of framing that, but the price will be different because you have progressive discounts. If you buy three bags, it's going to be more affordable than one. I think that's a great way. And then other ways to frame it too, where we're talking about like loss aversion, what you're losing by canceling, what you're gaining. We did a newsletter episode recently where we're talking about the importance of identity. If somebody starts to identify themselves with what your brand is enabling, so like, you know, Dan, your dream of being an international bodybuilder, it's like by canceling, you're going to lose that identity. Can we make that feel a little bit stickier so that you're going to want to maybe stick with it a little bit longer?
Yeah. I would love to be an international bodybuilder. I am definitely far too lazy for that kind of thing. but there we are. Let's talk about the technology and the data side of things. So yeah, I go to a lot of e-commerce events. Feels like there's always some suppliers there who have something to do with subscriptions, offer some sort of subscription management platform. What should people be looking out for when it comes to the tech and the data? What are the things that retailers need to be able to do with the tech?
It's a great question. And I get asked about platforms all the time. And I often, there are certainly nuances and differences between all of them. As we know, like a lot of the leaders in the space between like Recharge, Skio, Autoship Cloud, Stay AI, Loop. I think the people don't like my answer because I generally say you're probably not using your existing tool well enough to worry about swapping to something else. And so I often actually will say that let's work out what's really, really important to the subscriber experience first. And so if we're evaluating tech, we want to make sure we have a really clear view of what our prime use cases are. So if I'm selling so just as a very simple example of this, if I have a single SKU store, how important is flexibility to adding other products to a subscription? It's not. Right. Hmm. If I'm selling a really, really big catalog, but people really only buy one product, or depending on who they are, they're buying something different, I still don't need that feature. If I have a lot of people that are constantly, say, trying different flavors and swapping to different types of product that I'm selling, then that type of functionality becomes then really, really important. And I would go and then evaluate those apps on their ability to swap something in a text message, or to swap something in the portal, or even in an email, for example. So that's one of the advice that I like to give, is just spending a little bit more time understanding what you actually need your subscription platform to do. I would say that there's a lot of really interesting ancillary tech out there. A tool that we really love that we use a lot is called Xaemo. It's like an interactive email embed inside Klaviyo that allows people to skip their next order or do simple upsells to their subscription inside the email. We use that tool with one client to upsell people that are on a monthly to a 3-month that I've mentioned, talked about. We're seeing some really cool stuff with like Live Recover and their ability to do like live agents to try to get people to abandon carts, win backs, upgrading to subscriptions, and then a lot of analytics tools. So that's probably like a lot of information that I've been saying, but like that's how I would think about it, is really understand what's important to you. I think we see a lot of times people say they didn't like a customer experience that they had with their software, or something seems to not be working well, and then they start shopping, not realizing that maybe that part doesn't work super well with most apps, or unless there's a really compelling case, subscription migrations can be a huge headache. And there's a lot of other things that you should probably be worried about more than just one small little feature set on your platform.
Yeah. So capabilities and about the sort of power you want to give to your customers, rather than thinking, you know, there's this big shiny platform that says it can do all kinds of things, you know,
And your marketing team, right? Like if we're going to run tons of campaigns, if we want a lot of interactions, if we're trying to, you know, like all that stuff, like I really do think tools then should be evaluated by the operator. Yeah. I've spent all my time in this platform. I hate that I can't do this or this really easily. And this platform says I can do this and this really easily. You know, that's another good way to evaluate too, I think.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Thank you very much. Well, what we do like to do at the last thing is just give everyone who's listening something to take away, an immediate thing they can perhaps implement this week and the next few weeks, something like that. So have you got some ideas of something people could go away and try?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll say two things, which I've kind of already talked about already, is the first is going to be a founder video or a brand video at the cancellation point. And if you want to go to our website, thesubscriptiondoc.com, we have a free template. It's just an outline you can upload with your brand into ChatGPT, and it'll crank out a 1-minute video script for you. I definitely think you should do that. Shoot it with your phone. Minimal editing. It just should just feel natural and authentic. And again, we're talking about like improving a 5% save rate to a 15% save rate just on doing that. So it's massive, and it's only take you a couple hours. And then the other thing would just look at your billing reminder email. Like look at that and see like, hey, we're doing a really bad job of selling ourselves again. And we should be doing that. We should be reminding people why they love us and why they should stick with us. So I'd spend a little bit of time there. But those are the quick wins. Long-term, test offers.
Yeah. I mean, test and optimize everything, right? As you say, test the founder's message, test your billing reminders, whatever it is. Make them all work for you as possible.
Great. Exactly.
So Matthew, people can find you. They can find you on LinkedIn. Pretty easily.
Absolutely. Yeah. Matthew Holman on LinkedIn, or the subscriptiondoc.com.
com. And yeah, you have a newsletter that goes out every week, so well worth subscribing to, and your own podcast as well. So
absolutely, all we talk about is subscription stuff. It gets really boring sometimes.
Oh, that's good. All we do is talk about offers and promotions in our newsletter. So that's fine.
Oh, that's what you should be. Exactly. Makes me think I should change my podcast to just subscription offers, because realistically, that's what everybody should be doing.
There you go. That's good advice. Good advice. Thank you very much for joining us, Matthew. And thank you, everybody, for listening. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Browse Basket Buy is brought to you by your friends at Revlifter. Promotions work, but they damage brand and margins. Revlifter's intelligent offers drive results by using behavioral signals to target the right customers at the right time. Customers typically see 20% more conversions, 30% higher AOV, 5% more revenue, and a 10% saving on promotional costs. So stop wasting discounts on people who'd buy anyway. Try Revlifter free for 90 days, and they'll handle all the heavy lifting. Visit Revlifter.com to find out more. That's Revlifter.com.